Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 40% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And be like seven.
It's Mike Shope.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung. Only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man, like plural, big, lots of S's. Lots of E's and S's. Bees. That was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man, that kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
Not a great day for the fantasy sickos in your life. In your midst, how many fantasy sickos, Bulldog, are in your midst right now?
You and the guy on the Western Hotline.
Adam.
That's that's it.
And Adam Krautwurst, who joins us now, affected just the same, even though he hasn't been drafting football as much as he's been drafting baseball. But Underdog, some class action suit, political reasons, of course, has stopped offering drafts and pick'em contests in New York as of just a couple of hours ago. So I've got like 10 or 15 that are underway. I'm allowed to draft in those, which is good, I guess. But nothing new. Adam, this is a blow.
Yeah, tough. Tough for us sickos out there, like you were saying. 33 baseball drafts deep, zero first or second picks. So that might be it for me.
How about that?
I might not get a shot at Shohei Ohtani or Aaron Judge at all.
How about that? What are the odds of that? Actually, we could figure that out, but not great.
Why don't you try a little harder, Adam?
I know.
Adam and I have a running thing for years now about how I always get like to pick. I get to pick first for whatever reason.
Yep.
And Adam never does, so he asked me to log in as him and see if it made a difference. But too late now because it's shut down. Great.
Well, maybe that's why it got shut down. Maybe you were trying to log in under me. Who knows? Hey,
maybe it's my fault. That's right. Well, even though you've been drafting, you know, rookies and teams for 2025 NFL seasons, I'm sure you're up on like the big news in the NFL, the free agent moves, some of which are pretty significant. And as far as the Bills go, they've got James Cook to figure out. That's not a free agent move, but bringing in Joshua Palmer at wide receiver, do you expect Palmer, have you liked him as a player? I don't think you and I have hardly ever talked about him on the deep end or anything, but what kind of production do you expect there? And then we can figure out if that's playable in fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, I expect him to be their you know, man beater, right? Like all this, you know, the stuff's come out recently about how good he was against man defense last year, which is great. And I think that's the role they kind of brought in Cooper to fill last year. They've got, you know, their offense, as you guys know, they just kind of deploy their offense accordingly to like whatever defense that they're playing, and they target the players against those specific defenses. So, you know, there'll be games like Cooper had last year where he was heavily involved, and then there'll be games where he wasn't involved at all against certain zone defenses. So that's where I see Palmer. That's where I see kind of the Bills receiving core again this season. It's just a bunch of is it your game? Is it time for you to perform? And I think, again, a lot of these guys will just be more best ball targets rather than guys that you really want to start. But, you know, Palmer's still young enough where maybe he's got something. The thing that makes me nervous about him is, like, he already played with a pretty good quarterback, Justin Herbert, and didn't really have, like, a ceiling outcome. So I don't really know how much more. I think he'll be a better football player than he will be a fantasy player. You know, you'll have Shakir and, you know, obviously all the other weapons there. And who knows if they're done at receiver. I think they probably are significantly as far as, like, adding another significant receiver. But Palmer could see himself on the field. You know, maybe, I don't know, can he run block? Is he Mac Hollins, you know, next year where he plays
70%
of the snaps? Who knows?
Well, that's interesting, Adam, because with Hollins leaving, like, that happened after Palmer signed, right? That was the same evening, I think. And so we spent a day with the idea of them both being here, and it felt like, okay, Palmer, there's my Cooper replacement. I thought they needed a Cooper replacement in this receiving core, and counting on Coleman to just, you know, ascend right away here in year two would have been a bet I wouldn't be willing to make with a team that's a Super Bowl contender. But now Hollins is out the door, and I sort of feel like, you know, unless you're counting on Coleman to take a step, and maybe they are, but that, again, to me feels like a bit of a risk, even though he's a relatively high pick. Like, I wonder if they are all done. And you know, I know they signed Chenault last night, and so that's another body. But as far as someone who you can look at the team today and go, all right, I'm all set, I'm not sure if I'm all set.
Yeah, that's super interesting. I think they've gotten away from, I don't think the Bills or Josh want that alpha number one. I think they did it with Diggs and it worked. I think everything works for them. Last year they were, you know, top three again in scoring, and they had no one that you really loved in that receiving core as far as stats were concerned. Like, we all wanted it. We're like, oh, great, they signed Cooper. And then Cooper, you know, almost had more catches in one game with the Browns the year before than he had, you know, six games or whatever with the Bills last year. I don't think they want that. I think they want to keep defenses guessing, which we hate for stats, we hate for fantasy, but it feels like everything works for them, and so I think they're going to continue to do it. I mean, again, I wouldn't hate them adding a big-time weapon, but I don't think they want to spend the money on it. I think, you know, they haven't really been in on, I mean, thank God they didn't go get DK Metcalf for $30 million a year, and maybe Cooper is an option. Maybe he's going to test free agency. He's not going to get what he wants. He seemed to really like it in Buffalo, so maybe he will come back, but he barely played last year. I don't know if he's a bad run blocker, but from a Bills fan, I kind of like this idea of kind of like just kind of putting the different pieces out there. I mean, I hate the idea of not having James Cook on the field for the last possession of the season, but, you know, that's just kind of been their style. And for fantasy, it sucks. The only guy I really like is Khalil Shakir, I think, this year so far.
We've gone a long way here, and this is happening a lot. Well, I mean, also because of, like, what's topical, but analyzing the Bills' passing offense without mentioning Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid. You know, the last year at this time, we were asking these same questions. Coleman eventually. I mean, the draft hadn't happened yet. But who will be the man in the offense? And really, it wasn't anybody, no more so than Shakir, who led them in stats. What are your feelings about Kincaid and then Coleman versus a year ago? It's 2 years now for Kincaid. There haven't been touchdowns. There haven't been, you know, big games. Do you sort of buy the idea that injuries were a problem for him and that it'll get there, or maybe are you worried about that at this point?
Yeah, Kincaid's different. You know, we used to wait 3-4 years for tight ends to break out. We used to wait 3 years for receivers to break out. So sometimes you kind of got to remember, like, you know, these breakouts don't always come in their rookie year, even when you're playing with the MVP. Coleman's interesting. You know, a lot of times in fantasy circles, we talk about the second-year breakout now and just kind of blindly taking these second-year receivers. You think of guys like JSN last year heading into a second year. Like, hey, just blindly take him because he's a talented player, and then he has an insane year. You know, I don't expect that out of Coleman, but there is something to be said, injuries, rookie, you know, maybe he takes that second year step. I mean, I think he should be at least as good as Gabe Davis was, kind of the same type of player. I think he's probably better. You know, and then the tight end situation. And I do like the fact that the coaching staff and the GM kind of called them both out. Like, hey, they got to get stronger. They got to get better. We need them, to type of thing. And maybe that lights a fire for them. And if they don't make any other significant additions to this offense, I could see them having years where they step up and kind of perform. I think, too, kind of back to the James Cook point, is he scored a lot of touchdowns for a guy that didn't get a lot of goal line carries and didn't get catches. You know, maybe some of those long touchdowns turn into, you know, long touchdowns for Keon Coleman or Dalton Kincaid, and then kind of you see the flip script there.
The way that they, so you just referenced, the way that both Bean and McDermott talked about both guys, but especially Coleman, that's part of the reason I already mentioned that I'm like reluctant to just buy into him ascending immediately, because I don't know. I mean, for them to be as direct and pointed as they were in those criticisms of him could be, okay, I don't know, but could be a sign of a deeper problem. Like, to me, it's always just everyone's holding hands and singing songs normally once we get to the off season. You know, he worked hard, he's developing, we believe in him. And instead it was like, we need more, basically. And that makes me wonder just how dug in he was coming back from that injury. And I don't know, maybe maturity even is a question. So that is a bit of a red flag for me. Like, I'm not entirely down on him as a prospect, but I'm worried that the Bills are down on him, and that really doesn't add up to them betting on him, to me.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's all, you know, it's all fun and games when he's joking about chocolate chip cookies during a press conference, but then you're like, wait a minute, like how serious is he? Mature? Like, how serious is he? Is he taking this? I think those are all good points, you know, that we won't really know. And again, is there a disconnect between Bean and McDermott on what type of players he wants? He talked about, you know, he mentioned a couple weeks ago, like, he always wants receivers with speed, and maybe like they're drafting guys that don't really fit the offensive scheme. So I don't know, but I hope for their sake and for fantasy wise, like, that if they do want certain types of players, that they just go out and get them, whether it's via trade or via, you know, in the draft trading for speedier receivers or drafting them, or at least not letting, you know, Kansas City jump ahead of them and take them.
Right. How do you feel about Cook moving forward here? Like, I know it's not exactly a fantasy question, but the contract thing, how he's handling social media, you know, it could be a thing that kind of percolates through the spring and who knows, maybe even into the summer. Of course, they could sign into a contract extension tomorrow and it's all over. But I don't know, man. He played not even 50% of the snaps, and being asked to be paid or wanting to be paid at the top of the market, I'm reluctant there. I mean, there's the whole running back thing, period. But then just a guy that's on the field half the time commanding a top of market salary, I'm having trouble with.
Yeah, I don't think there's any way they're going to pay it. They did. I mean, it's beautiful for, I mean, I love James Cook as a player for the Bills. It's beautiful for them too. Like, they take him in the third round and he's awesome and you get him cheap. That's what you do. One contract and then you kind of move on from him. I don't think Cook, I mean, Cook's jockeying. He had a great season, so he's trying to get paid from it, but he's not going to this year with the Bills, I don't think. And so it's just, I think, jockeying back and forth. I think it'll be fine. I think he'll play well again for the Bills next year. I mean, and so, but fantasy-wise, I'm still kind of where I was last year. He doesn't get, like, those high-value targets, whether it's the catches or the goal line stuff. He just kind of had a really efficient season where he was scoring from longer distances, and he can't really. I mean, I could see his running back. I could see his touchdowns being cut by two thirds next year. Just, you know, he doesn't get as lucky on kind of those long runs. Maybe, you know, they miss a. I mean, again, little stuff like Matt Collins stuffing guys in lockers 20 yards down the field. If they don't have that, right, does he score those 30-yard touchdown runs? So, but I like him for the Bills, obviously, and I think it'll be fine. I mean, you guys kind of have a better pulse on the locker room than I do, but I think we'll be there to play, and then he'll probably move on after his contract.
In fantasy, he's running back 14, which is kind of insane if you just look at sort of the, if you will, the back of the football card stats, right? I mean,
yeah.
18 combined touchdowns, plus he had two against Kansas City in the playoffs. Monster year, but Bulldog referenced the snap share, 44% last year, 29th among running backs. And Sharp, I mean, if you're playing fantasy football in February and March, you're probably kind of really into it. And doesn't mean you're going to be right, but running back 14 behind Chase Brown, who was good for Cincinnati, but maybe they draft somebody, I don't know. Some of the guys ahead of him, it's a little bit curious that I don't think it's wrong. I don't think it's wrong, Adam, but he's going early fourth round, and that might surprise people.
Yeah, for sure. Again, you know, it's just people have gotten so much sharper these days with all the information.
Podcasts.
Yeah, exactly.
All the good podcasts.
Deep on podcasts, exactly. But I think what you're going to have, too, is you'll probably start seeing analysts talk about, like, he only played, like Bulldog said, he only played, like, 44% or whatever the snaps. If that upticks to 60, oh, my gosh, what could that mean? They're bringing all the running backs back. Like, it's the same backfield. I don't see it changing. He did miss one game last year, so I think they like keeping him fresh, especially for the playoffs. So I don't see much changing except for maybe some less luck on those long touchdowns.
So there have been some big moves in the league, of course. You mentioned Metcalf before. I think you said you wouldn't have liked that for the Bills. I kind of did like it. I don't like him with Pittsburgh. Like, that is not great. If any receiver is going to go there, we'll see what Pittsburgh does at quarterback, but no answer there yet. It's Metcalf and George Pickens for now on that, you know, in that passing attack. Can that work for both guys?
No, I don't think it can. I mean, what's their best available option right now, a quarterback? Is it Rodgers? Is it Russell Wilson? Russell Wilson might be actually better for them. Those are downfield kind of winners there. Yeah. Rodgers, I mean, I would lean towards Rodgers being the betting favorite to get the job there. Rodgers is a guy that needs his guys in those specific spots where he wants them, when he wants them there. That's not Metcalf. That's not Pickens. And so they don't pass enough. Arthur Smith is... You know, I don't trust Arthur Smith. So I think Metcalf is kind of in trouble there. And Pickens, as far as fantasy is concerned, you know, they're still going to run the bubble. I'm kind of more interested in their backfield. You know, Najee's gone now with the Chargers. What I kind of be interested to see with their running game is concerned. I like them as an offensive unit. I think they have a ton of talent, but it's just I don't think it's going to happen for Metcalf and Pickens. I mean, I could see them both blowing up on the sidelines one game and it being a huge issue. But fantasy, I definitely don't like it at all.
Is there a place that Rodgers goes where it moves the meter for you at all at this point?
I don't think he goes anywhere that moves the meter positively for me.
Right.
I mean, I trust, you know, I thought he had a good shot last year. He had the talent around him, and it just never worked out. And I think he's kind of he was having issues. Does he even want to play anymore? That type of thing. So I don't think there's anywhere he would go where I would really be like, oh, that's exciting, because, you know, Davante Adams and Garrett Wilson did not have great years with him last season. So and the Jets had a great, you know, skill position group around him, Breece Hall, you know, everybody there. So
right.
I'm not excited for wherever he goes.
What do you think of Davante Adams on the Rams? I love it.
He's a better right now. He's a better Cooper. Stafford's a kingmaker at receiver. So I absolutely love it.
Any thoughts on the Bengals situation? There's a report today that from Schefter that they're getting close on Chase and Higgins, if you can believe that. You know, Higgins was somebody that we kind of all figured would be gone, like, all last year.
Yeah.
But maybe not. And if they are able to keep them both, then I think they go back to being not only sort of dangerous in real life, but, I mean, very valuable in fantasy. Chase just led the league in everything.
Yeah, I love that. Again, too, it's one of those where you just, you know, when Higgins is healthy, I mean, I'm always overweight on Higgins every year in drafting. And last year he was going, like, super late. And he was, you know, insane when he played. You know, he's always banged up. But it's one of those things where, you know, if they're on the board at ADP, you want to draft him because it just you don't want to overthink it. Chase is going, number one, you know, top three, that type of thing. So I think you kind of lock those guys in. And then from a NFL perspective, I mean, they make them super dangerous. Now their defense is terrible, which is, you know, hey, go get Trey Hendrickson, make their defense even worse. That's a little addition by subtraction there.
How can advertising on TikTok help jumpstart sales for your small business?
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend, get a warehouse, and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads, and you gotta start now.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
For that, but keep them out of the playoffs. But I like that they're going to push the Ravens to have to score, push the Steelers to have to score. So I love Higgins. I love Chase. Kind of can't miss guys other than the injuries.
Adam, you told me. Yes, in confidence, but I'm about to say it. You're really not ready to talk about rookies yet. You know, you've got your family, your job, you know, the baseball thing. Anything you'd like to know? You have one question for us about rookies.
Oh, wow. Well, I was going to say, at least we don't have to talk about this year, but Ashton Jantes to the Bills? Is that what I'm hearing?
is that what you're hearing? We got to figure that. We got to talk about that if that's what you're hearing. Chicago is... It's going to be top 12, I think, for Jenty. That's my guess. So you have the Bears. Dallas is in there. Dallas is at 12. And even Vegas, possibly, which I think any of those is great.
Yes.
Is great for Jenty.
Awesome.
And also Denver, who picks later. I think Denver would be great. And really, then it's a matter of, is the coach of that team going to want to use him a lot? And that doesn't always happen. Even Bijan Robinson did not get tons of work as a rookie. So that's what we're rooting for there. It'll be nice to have a normal, great running back prospect get drafted in the first round and actually play and do well. Barkley's the last one.
Yeah, and not get hurt. I mean, Breece Hall had to get a really good rookie year, but he got hurt. Yeah, you said there was an ML. Just keep him away from Arthur Smith. Keep him away from Pittsburgh because, you know, Bijan Robinson, that was a disaster. But, yeah, anywhere where these guys can get. And because that's key, right? Touches in fantasy. I mean, look at, you know, the Chargers now, right? They got you know, running backs there now. They got Najee. It's like, man, if he's going to get 300 touches, he's not very good, but – you know, it's all about opportunity and fantasy, and you get a guy like Jantes with all the opportunity, he smash.
Adam, great to talk to you again. Thank you for filling in here last minute.
Awesome, guys. Thank you so much.
All right, man. Have yourself a good weekend. Brandon Bean is speaking as we're going through this segment of the show, and it's just been learned that one of their free agent signings, defensive tackle Larry Ogunjobi, there was some delay in him signing, and Bean says that is because they learned after signing him, after agreeing to the deal with him, that he had a PED suspension that will cause him to miss the first six games of the season.
And Michael Hoyt.
I didn't see the Michael Hoyt thing.
Bean said the Bills knew about that one, but he also will miss six games.
Whoa, wow. Was that the face I was getting while we were talking to Adam? I didn't see the Hoyt thing. I saw the face and I started scrolling, but I did not know about Hoyt. Holy cow.
Wow. Two free agent signees by the Bills this week will miss six games of the season for violations of the drug policy. They knew about Hoyt when they signed him. They did not know about Ogunjobi when they signed him. We'll think about that and talk some more. 803-0550, Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR. Before we get back into this pretty stunning Bills news today, did you happen to watch the clip of Sammy and Joe on their show today watching the Bona game?
See if they had a bet on Bona to be the first to get to 10 points. Is that what it was? I did not. I saw the tweet. I didn't watch the clip.
It's like 2 minutes. I think Joe might have. Was it Virginia Tech that they played?
VCU.
One of the Virginias. Basically, he's doing play-by-play for about 2 minutes, and the score is 9-8, VCU. And Bona has possession. I think maybe Joe had VCU. First to 10. Is there no? Can you do first to 11? Can you do first to anything? Right. First to 10. Because Sam did say, like, their first to 15 was a thing, maybe. I don't know. I'm not that far in. Right. Thank goodness.
Right.
Anyway, so they had Bona. He had Bona. Maybe Joe had VCU, first to 10. Something to do live on the air, right? You know, for who knows how much. And Bona had a possession down 9-8. Here we go. Score, and I got it. Around the rim and out. I didn't watch the game. I'm just telling you what Sam said, how he described it. Around the rim and out. Here comes VCU up the court. They miss. Offensive rebound. They miss again. Here comes Bona. 2-on-1. Layup. Nope. And then VCU scores to get to 11. And one of the producers of the show just goes, "This is March," which is exactly right. This is March,
this
all right.
This is March, and this is the bet sweats. That's what this is. This is the bet sweats.
I don't know where I want to come down. A part of me thinks, all right, guys, you know, let's go touch some grass, you know.
Right.
Let's take a walk, do something else with our lives. But I also love it.
Yeah.
You know, just sort of, it's funny. It's not funny to lose. But, you know, assuming it's under control and to watch. I usually don't get into the ones, you know, like some of the betting accounts will tweet big wins.
Mm-hmm.
Like video of a big win. Like, all right, that's cool. And guys are just like the camera's all shaking and everybody's jumping on each other. But it's the ones like this that are, I get into those. Just funny. Bona lost. They not only didn't get to 10 first. More importantly, some would say they lost the game.
Right.
So if you missed it, two defensive players the Bills signed this week, Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi, will both have to serve six-game drug suspensions to start the season. Brandon Bean, speaking now, said that they knew Hoyt had that coming, but not Ogunjobi. And maybe they wouldn't have signed him.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. I'm reading a quote here from Elena Getzenberg, I believe covers the team for ESPN, and said, yeah, they knew about Hoyt, and if they had known about Ogunjobi, she says, Bean just said, in advance of agreeing to terms, they would not have gone with two players facing six-game suspensions. But at that point, the market had thinned out. By the time they learned about the suspension, they didn't really have a pivot that they found suitable and just decided to live with it, I guess. So Man, that's a tough, that's a bad look, ultimately. I mean, that's a third of the season, for God's sakes. Two guys that, you know, to various degrees, I mean, Ogunjobi, I would say less than Hoyt. I mean, we'll see how everybody ends up being used here, but like Ogunjobi's more of a rotational piece to me. And I say that Hoyt's going to play 80% of the snaps or something, but I just feel like he's the longer-term investment and the more exciting idea to me by a lot, watching just the cut-ups of him lining up all over the field and just being deployed in different ways, sort of excited about him being here to see what they can do with him and what it'll mean to their defense and all that. And holy cow, I mean, we're going to be knocking on the door of Halloween before any of these guys get on the field. Yeah, that's tough. That's a bit of an exaggeration, but whatever. It's going to be mid-October. Yep. It's going to be close.
Yep.
That's brutal news. I've never thought to talk to a manager in any sport, about that kind of thing. Like, obviously they like this player Hoyt enough to go through with it in spite of knowing he was going to miss the first six games of the season. So tells you what they think of him. Also tells you in a certain way what they think of Ogunjobi, that they would have backed out of it if they could, but they didn't have a better idea. So they, you know, they only like him enough that by the time the market got picked over, they didn't have a place to turn. It sounds like they would have if they had a better idea. Which is tough for Ogunjobi. I mean, you know, I mean,
that's how it goes.
But that's the world. Wow, just that's brutal news.
Yeah. In a positive light, we talked about Bosa for this.
They'll be fresh.
Save him.
Right.
Right. Is this going to mean the Bills start 2-4 because they don't have, you know, a guy or two that maybe very few people had heard of? Ogunjobi has been, I knew more about him, but still, like, how impactful enough to do it? We'll see. But yeah, who would have guessed? It's interesting, you know, to know that there was a suspension coming for him. Maybe that's why he spoke on Friday. Like everybody else, the players were all speaking yesterday. We were in contact with Sal, and I don't know, that's
just sort of a holding pattern, waiting to see if Bean was going to walk out at some point and talk to everyone.
Yeah, Sal thought maybe Bean would speak yesterday, and maybe there are other reasons why it was today instead. But they like to give you, corporations like to give you bad news on Friday. See if you miss it. 70 out. Oh,
yeah.
Let's brace for worse. More bad news, maybe.
Yeah.
Friday afternoon with 70 degrees.
I'm sorry to say I couldn't miss this. Wow.
Yep. All right, so.
Well, I wonder, I mean, what does that do to your roster construction and your rotations and all the stuff? I mean, obviously, again, they knew about Hoyt, so that doesn't land on them like a ton of bricks or anything. They made the choice to bring this player in here knowing they wouldn't have him, so you were already, you know, going about your plans with that in mind. That knowledge was in hand. Ogunjobi is a little bit different. They still do decide to proceed with the player, though. You know, like for the reasons I already said, that nobody better left out there because the market had been picked over by then. But I mean, Jordan Phillips, you want to hang out for the first six games of the season? Like, are they going to just bring somebody in to fill those? Yes, is the answer. There'll be people on the roster taking those spots while those guys are suspended. But do you go get guys just to fill in for that? Or are those practice squad guys? Or what are we doing here? I don't want to say unprecedented. It's possible, maybe even likely, that some team, maybe many teams over the years, have signed free agents only to find out that they're going to get suspended after they're signed. What I've never heard of is a team admitting they knew a guy was going to be suspended and signed him anyways.
It's probably happened.
It probably has. Again, I don't have that all filed away here. I'm sorry. I try to keep track of stuff, but it's a very odd section of the book here that we're in. Like, guys that were signed to free agent contracts knowing they were going to be suspended. It's not a Jeopardy category that I would choose.
It wouldn't be your category on the floor.
No. But it's a weird choice to make, period.
Well,
on either guy.
Yeah, I'm sure it's happened. And I guess I just don't hate that the Bills did it or anything, right? Like, you run the calculus. We like the player, six games, not good. I guess you'd want to hear an explanation, assume they would get one from the player. Maybe it's a good one. I don't know if it ever is, if it can be that good. What did it mean to the player's performance, all of that? Well, they weren't scared off.
Right.
'Cause it's both things. It's the six games, but it's also the choice in the first place and sort of what maybe that says. Because I hear about a drug suspension, I feel like somebody might be desperate. You know, like, I got to do this to keep going. That might not be the case with Hoyt. And making the point about Bean speaking on a Friday, Hoyt is speaking now. I didn't think about that. He didn't go yesterday. So he's going now. I'm reading. We'll see what else comes up. 803-0550 for your calls. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR. Bad news from the Bills today. Two signings this week. Michael Hoyt from the Rams, Larry Ogunjobi from the Steelers, both facing six-game performance-enhancing drug policy violations. Brandon Bean speaking just now at the stadium said they knew on Hoyt and didn't on Ogunjobi. I'd be curious to know how Brandon Bean, in this case, finds out in each case. You know, is it a league? Does the league send an email to everybody or right. just to the team? What is it? Does the agent, who's responsible for disseminating the information right. would be interesting to know. I don't think there's anything suspicious about that here. I don't know that answer.
Right, yeah, I don't either. Like, it reminds me of what I asked Kevin Adams earlier in the week about the Norris trade. Like how liberally is medical information about guys you're trying to acquire shared? And, you know, the answer was quite liberally. Once you get to a certain point, it's like, okay, we really want to do this. Well, then you got to let our doctors see what your doctors have seen, and there you go. In this case, yeah, I don't know. Like, is there an office you can call in the league? Whatever department handles discipline as you're contemplating signing guys. Hey, is there anything in the pipeline on this guy or this guy? Because we're thinking about signing him. I don't know how that works. It sounds to me from just running through a lot of the quotes I've seen posted on Twitter that being the Bills didn't know about Ogunjobi because Ogunjobi didn't know about Ogunjobi until it sometime this week, like after he'd signed, then that's when the player found out, and then the Bills found out. So that might tell you that the player or the agent or someone is the first person contacted.
I wonder if, like, what the exact timing on that would be, because the legal tampering, but unless I'm naive here, nothing is signed until Wednesday.
Right.
And it's only Friday. So when did he find out? Wednesday after signing the paper. Well, not necessarily.
No, that's why there's been a delay in him signing because of this, is what I think Bean has said. So,
but they're not going to get out of it.
But they agreed and decided to hold themselves and he to the agreement, I guess, is the way
I wonder if that was debated.
Yeah.
Right? Well, this season is not going to be determined by how they do through week six, right? They're going
right.
to have to hold on to hope, and I think it's pretty reasonable that they'll be good anyway and have these guys for the bulk of the season, just not for the first six games. Wonder if you might think about the schedule differently. Front load because of Larry Ogunjobi and Michael Hoyt, but I just bear with me. Front load the schedule.
Right.
Let's get Carolina in here week one. Get some of these division games in early. You know, the easy ones,
mm-hmm.
right, Bulldog? The easy ones. Oh, Carolina's a road game this year, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well,
still.
Fine.
What's the line? Bills at Carolina week one. What's the line?
Bills minus 6.5.
I was going to say 5. 4.5, 5.
You couldn't be more wrong.
Send us your guesses on X platform at Shoptalk at Bulldog WGR. What will the line be? Bills at Panthers this season. It's out there, right? All the lines are out there on one of those sites. They'll have them all. We will get you and listen together to Brandon Bean's comments, including this kind of bombshell about the two suspended players, after the update. Mike Shope and the Bulldog, WGR.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.